All right, Rabbi, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Zayin, and we are picking up on Nun Zayin. We're picking up 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. We'll say our shir this morning is dedicated by Michael and Rachel Turniansky, with Akara Satov on the occasion of the Daf Yomi Limerick blog passing 200 followers. Mamish. Good. So let's go weiter. Hahu of Dahava Babiram. Let's listen to this. There was a particular episode of an Ovid Kochavim, an Akum, in Biram. We'll say Biram is a place. So what happened? So the Gemara says, the Dahava Kasalik Bidikla. And both, it's actually very interesting. So what happened? The Ovid Kochavim was climbing up a tree, and then he was coming down the tree with a lulav in his hand. Okay, so far so good. So we'll say, as he's coming down the tree, what happens? Naga berosha dululiva bechamra. He went ahead and with the top of the lulav, he touched wine. So again, Rabbi says he's coming down the tree with the lulav. He goes in and he touches the wine with the lulav. So what's the Gemara says? Shelo bekavana. But ultimately, again, he didn't do this intentionally. Rather, this was done unintentionally. So we'll say the point of this contact was not, of course, to create yayin esach, but rather, again, this was an unintentional contact. Rabbi says, I'll just share with you something very interesting over here. So the girsa of the Gemara is that the Ovid Kochavim is holding the lulav, and he touches the wine with the lulav. So now again, the Gemara is saying that the wine, let's finish off. Sharye Rav Lezabun Le'ovdei Kochavim. So Rav says, you could take the wine, and you could sell it to an Ovid Kochavim. So what is Rav saying? Rav is saying that this really should not be consumed by a Jew. It should not be sold to a Jew. But yet again, we're ruling that it is still permitted, Behana, and therefore you could go and you could sell it to an Akum. Now I'll tell you something very interesting about this. So if you take a look at Tosis, Tosis Hagi Garcinan Berov Hasvarim, Bahadi de Kanochis, Naga Beresha Dululiva, Bechamra Shalob Kavana. So Tosis says, Ulafi Gir Sazu, Chashvinon Maga Ovid Kochavim Ayede Davar Acher, Kimog Maga Ovid Kochavim Bigufo. So we'll say, here's what's interesting about this. It also just points out, according to this Girsa in the Gemara, so it appears that if an Ovid Kochavim touches wine with an object, that is the equivalent of what? Of the Ovid Kochavim touching it himself. Right? These are the equivalents. Apparently in this case over here, the Ovid Kochavim is touching the wine with the lulav that he's holding in his hands, and it appears that that is the equivalent of an Ovid Kochavim touching the wine with his own hand. So that's the Girsa of the Gemara. Tosas himself, Rav Osei, comments, if you skip down a little bit, it's about 2, 4, 6 lines before the end of Tosas. So Tosas writes, L'chach niru the Rabbeinu Tam, Girsas Rabbeinu Chananel, V'alochos Kidolos, V'chein Nimsa B'tshuvas Hagonim, D'lo Garas B'reisha Dululiva, Ela Noga B'chamra. Ulahachi Asrali Rab B'shtia D'haveli Maga Ovecham B'guchfo. Suppose you just want to point out, Tosas holds that that's not the case. Tosfos holds that if an Ovid Kochavim touches wine with an object, for example, with a lulav in his hands, that is not the equivalent of the Ovid Kochavim touching the wine himself, and the wine would be totally permitted. Therefore, Tosfos's girsa of the Gemara is the Ovid Kochavim was climbing up the tree, coming down the tree, and touched the wine directly when coming down. So just pointing out, it's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos about what the proper girsa of the Gemara is. According to Rashi, and according to almost everyone else besides Tosfos, the Gemara says that the Ovid Kochavim is touching the wine with the lulav. According to Tosis, he's touching the wine directly. Okay, in any event, he goes in and he touches the wine, whether with the lulav or directly. So what happens? Shaye Rav Lezabun of the Kochavim. So Rav permitted the sale of this wine to an Akum. A Jew can't consume it, but you can sell it to an Akum. Amru le Rav Kahana, Rav Asi the Rav. So Rav Kahana, Rav Asi both said to Rav, V'hamarhu da Amar, Tinok ben Yomahu Ose Yayin Esach. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi said to Rav, but Rebbe, you said that even a Tinok ben Yomo, that even a one-day-old Akum child, if he touches wine, renders the wine Yayin Esach. So I don't understand why in this case over here, are you permitting the Jew to get benefits from this wine? Amar Lahu, so Rav responded, Amar da amri ana b'shtia. When I said that ultimately, even the touching of a one-day-old akum child creates yayin esech, that was only to prohibit it in consumption. You can't drink it. Ba'ana mi amri. I never said you can't get hana from it. So again, I will say, what's coming out of here is as follows. It's actually a very interesting case, because this is the case, ultimately, again, of unintentional contact. In this case over here, so the Akum's intention is not to touch the wine, therefore his intention is certainly not to go ahead and render the wine yayin esach. What the Gemara ever is teaching us is that even in a situation of unintentional contact, nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, again, the wine is prohibited from consumption. Rav is telling us that you can go ahead and you could sell it, you can get benefit from it, but you are not permitted to go ahead and consume it. So even unintentional contact renders the wine prohibited for Jewish consumption, but not for Jewish benefit. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Gufa. We'll say first white line with Zayin Amadalf. Gufa. Omarav, Tinok ben Yomo, Ose Yayin Esech. So Rav said, a Tinok, a one-day-old child, if he goes ahead and he touches the wine, so makes it into Yayin Esech. So Eisvei Rav Simi Bar Ashi Bar Chia L'Rav. So Rav Simi Bar Chia asked the following question to Rav. Halokeach Avadim Mina Ovdei Kochavim. So we'll say, if one goes ahead and purchases Ovdei Kochavim, Avadim, servants, slaves, from an Ovdei Kochavim. So we'll say, listen to this case. So now, I am purchasing non-Jewish slaves from an Ovdei Kochavim. Now what happens, we'll say, when a Jew acquires a non-Jewish slave, what's the halacha? There's mila and tevila l'shem avdus. Right? There's circumcision and there's immersion in mikvah for the purpose of servitude. That slave now becomes what we call an Eved Kenani. Upon emancipation, that slave now becomes a full-fledged Jew. So watch this. I purchased an Eved from an Ovid Kochavim. Shamalu v'lo tavlu. And what happens? The slave has had his milo, but not tevila. V'chein b'nei ha-shvachos. Shamalu v'lo tavlu. Similar, I will say, now b'nei ha-shvachos means, let's say I already own the shifcha. I don't know the Shifra Kinanis. And what happens? She has children. Now, both say, those children were born into servitude, and were born, meaning were born as my possessions. So what happens? Shamalu v'lo tavlu. Ultimately, again, they have a mila, but they haven't had tevila. So we'll say, so in these cases over here, what we're dealing with is as follows. We're dealing with situations where halacha l'maisa, the part of the process took place, but is not complete. So mila took place, but not tevila. So we'll say the obvious shaila is what's going to be their status. So now the Gemara says, Rokan umidrasan bishuk tame. So we'll say Rokan means their spit, their saliva. Midrasan means, I will say, tumas medris is the tumma that comes about when somebody who is tame rests their weight on something. Even if there's not contact, but they rest their weight on something, that item becomes tame. So we'll say the halacha is tame. So we'll say, now, but this is another way of saying, we'll say, the halacha is that Chazal were gozer, that an akum has essentially tumas zav, right? A zav is a person who experiences some type of emission. So remember again, so a zav, his roke, his saliva is metame. Not only that, but what? Tumas medras. If he supports his weight against something, that item, that object becomes tame as well. So the Gemara says as follows, that if you have avodim that you purchased, right, from an akum, and what's occurred, and now again, those avodim have had mila, but not tevila, or b'nei ha-shvachos, you own a shifra, that shifra has children, and now it has a child, and now what happens, that child has had his mila, but not tevila, l'shem avdos, those people are still regarded essentially as ovdei kochavim. The proof to that is, their roke, their saliva, as well as their midras, is tamei like a tumas zav. Va'amri la tar. But the others say that no, once they've had mila, even though they haven't had tevila, they're already tar. So I'll say, here's the part that's important for us. Yeinon, what about if they touch wine? What is the status if they touch wine? So the Gemara says, it depends. Gidolim osin yayin esech. So I'll say, so adults will make the wine into yayin esech. Kitanim ein osin yayin esech. Ultimately, again, but Kitanim, children, will not go ahead and render the wine Yayin Esech. ve'iluhin gidolim ve'iluhin kitanim. We'll say, so what's the halachic definition? What's the legal definition over here of a gadol and a katan? Gidolim yodin b'tiv avodos kochavim shamsha. So we'll say a gadol is someone who knows the details regarding avodah zarah. Right? He knows the details regarding avodah zarah. He knows about avodah zarah, about how to serve the avodah zarah. Kitanim enam yodim b'tiv avodos kochavim. But Kitanim, ultimately, again, a Katan means someone who does not know the inner workings or inner details, ultimately, again, of Avodah Zarah and its attending services. So, Bosei, but the point over here, what do you see? This is a Kashan Rav. Because what did Rav say, Bosei? Rav said, Tinok ben Yomo Oseyayi Nesech. That even a one-day-old Akum child, if he touches wine, makes the wine into Yayi Nesech. So, again, we've qualified that ruling a little bit, and we've said that what Rav really meant was what Tavosai, that you can't drink it, you can't consume it, you can sell it and get hanah from it. But nevertheless, it's rendered asr for Jewish consumption. B'yat Tavosai, what do you see from this braisa? Katani mihas gidolim in kitanim lo. Tavosai, what you do see from this braisa is what? That again, the braisa is clearly saying, Tavosai, that what's the only kind of akum which goes ahead and renders the wine into Yayin Esech is only Gidolim and not Kitanim. This contradicts Rav, because according to Rav, even a Katan should be able to render the wine Yayin Esech. To which the Gemara says, you're right, but Tirgima Abnei Ashvachas. I will say, listen to this is actually quite interesting. Say that when the Braisa makes the distinction between Kitanim and Gidolim, I will say, who is that referring to? That's referring to Bnei Ashvachos. That's referring to the children of the maid servant who is already yours. So we'll say, now, before we explain it, let's explain the statement. So now what the Gemara is suggesting over here, Rabbi Say, is as follows. What the Braisa told me was like this. The Braisa told me that there are two different categories of people we're discussing over here. We're talking about slaves who I purchased from an Akum versus Bnei Ashvachos. Bnei Ashvachos, Rabbi Say, are servants, are children of slaves I already own. The Gemara now is suggesting that when the Braisa made the distinction between Gidolim and Kitanim, who is that referring to? That's referring to Bnei Ashvachos. Then I will say, why would we make a distinction between Gidolim and Kitanim of Bnei Ashvachos, but not make that distinction between Gidolim and Kitanim of slaves who I purchase? So it says, we're going to see, the difference of Bnei Ashvachos is, those are children being raised in a Jewish home. Not Jewish children, obviously. They're the children of the slave woman. But nevertheless, they are being raised in a Jewish home. Because they're being raised in a Jewish home, it's quite possible and probable that their connection to idolatry is not really the same. Therefore, the Gemara feels we can make a distinction for them between Gidolim and Kitanim. Again, we will discuss this a little bit more on Medvez. I'm just giving you a little bit of the coming attractions. Look at the last Rashi in Adaf, Echemine Ashvachos. Af api shenoldu bebeis Yisrael, because remember, at the end of the day, they were born in a Jewish home. They did not grow up amongst idolaters. So again, the rest of Rashi doesn't apply to this. But so let's go in the Gemara. So what the Gemara now is suggesting, we'll say, is as follows. That halacha lemaisa, when it comes to purchasing a slave from an akum, so we'll say that person, if he just had mila and not tevila, essentially he's metame like a zav. Not only that, if he touches wine, whether again he is a gadol or a katan, will render the wine aser. If, however, again, by Bnei Ashvachos, if I own a maidservant, that maidservant ultimately has a child, so we'll say gidolim, an adult, will go ahead and what? An adult will go ahead and make the wine into Yayin Nesech, but the katan will not make the wine into Yayin Nesech. That's the distinction the Gemara is making right now. The logic of that distinction, again, I gave you a little bit of it, but we'll see more in Amad Beis. So one second. Ha v'chein ka'amar. But one second, it says v'chein. We'll say the Braisa itself seems to link the case of the avadim who I'm purchasing and Bnei Ashvachos, to which the Gemara says, arokun u'mudrasan. That v'chein, we'll say, is coming on the Rok and the Medras, and telling you that, again, whether you are purchasing avadim or Bnei Ashvachos, their spit, the saliva, as well as the Tumas Medras, will be the same. So which the Gemara says, Hani Chalaman Damar Tame. So we'll say, this is fine according to Mandama, who says that in fact, these Avadim who have just had Mila and not Tevila do in fact have Tumas Zav. Ella lemandamar Torah ma'iklimimar. Rabbi Yosef Karen Tamandamo says that their Torah, what is there to say? Hakamashmalon avadim dumya de bnei ashvachos. Rabbi Yosef is coming to teach me that avadim are like the bnei ashvachos. How so? Ma bnei ashvachos malu v'lo tov lehuda osiyai nesach. Rabbi Yosef, listen to this. When it comes to bnei ashvachos, it's only in a case where there was mila and not tevila that they make the wine into yai nesach. Malu v'tavlu lo. We'll say, but listen, interestingly enough, if the Bnei HaShvachos had Mila and Tvila, they would not render the wine Yayin Ezech. Af Avadim, so too by servants, by slaves that I purchased from the Akum. So Af Avadim came. Ultimately, we'll say, same halacha as by Avadim, that by Avadim the halacha is as well, that if they have Mila and Tvila, they do not render the wine Yayin Ezech. To which the Gemara says, La fuki midram nachas. So we'll say, by the way, I just want to point out, this is actually very fascinating. So what the Gemara will say seems to just taught us, I know there's a lot of stuff going on over here, but what the Gemara just seems to have come out as a very dramatic fact, that if I go ahead and I purchase, I have Eved Kinanim, as long as those Avodim have had Mila and Tevila l'shem Avdus, they do not go ahead and make my wine into Yayin Esech. The only time they potentially make my wine into Yayin Esech is when they've had Mila without Tevila. So what we'll call if the Eved Kenani initiation process is incomplete, then they're still treated essentially like an Akum and could go ahead and make my wine into Yayin Esech. But once they go ahead and have had Mila and Tevila l'shem Avdus, they no longer make my wine into Yayin Esech. Which Rabbi Osei is a very dramatic halacha, because at the end of the day, they're still not Jewish. They're still not Jewish. Yet at the end, yet they are still not going to make my Yayin Esech. Latvuke midi Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Osei, this comes to exclude from the position of Rav Nachman and Amar Shmuel. The Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Because Rabbi Osei, Rav Nachman said Amar Shmuel. Halokeach avodim min ha'ovdei kochavim. If somebody goes ahead and purchases slaves from the Akum, afapi shemalu v'tavlu, even though again they went ahead and they had Mila and Tevila, osin yayin esech, they do in fact still make the wine yayin esech through their contact. So we'll say, remember again, this is Rav Nachman, or really Shmuel. Shmuel saying that even your Eved Kenani, who has had Mila and Tevila, still goes ahead and makes your wine into yayin esech. Until when? Ad shetishaka avodos kochavim mipihem. The only time your Eved Kenani stops making wine into Yayin Esech is when? Is literally again when Avodah Zarah is forgotten from him. Until he forgets about Avodah Zarah. Now we'll discuss when that is. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malon Dilo. Kamash Malon said that we reject this position of Shmuel. We reject this position. And we hold that an Eved Kenani stops making wine into Yayin Esech. At what point in time? When there's Mila and Tevila. Once he has been fully inaugurated as an Eved Kenani, by dint of his Mila and Tevila circumcision, his immersion in the mikvah, he no longer makes wine into Yayin Nesech. He no longer makes wine into Yayin Nesech. Good. So we'll say, so again, and that, so remember, so let's take a step back. So therefore, we'll say, what we have is as follows. So we have Rav's statement that even a Tinok Ben Yomo makes wine into Yayin Nesech. Even a one-day-old child, Gentile child, Akum child, makes wine into Yayin Nesech. We've qualified that statement to mean that what Rav really means is what? You can't drink that wine. A Jew can't drink the wine. But what? You can sell it and ultimately get benefits from it. We've now been introduced to the case of where I purchase an Eved Kenani, or I purchase a slave from an Akum, or for that matter, again, my Shifcha gives birth to slaves. So we'll say, so what is the halacha? Again, in the period where there's just Mila, but not Tevila, so we'll say that's when I get into all types of complicated situations where the Eved still has the ability to render wine into Yayin Esech. However, again, once Mila and Tevila takes place, then what? Then Lamaisa, again, the Eved can no longer render the wine into Yayin Esech. But there is an opinion of Shmuel. And Shmuel Rabosai holds that even after Mila and Tevila, the Eved Kenani can still go ahead and make the wine into Yayin Esech. So at what point in time does he no longer make the wine into Yayin Esech? When he forgets about Avodah Zarah. So Gufa, so let's analyze this. Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halokeach Avodah Mina Ovdei Kochavim, Afa Pi Shemalo V'Tavlo Osi Yayin Esech. So now we're analyzing that statement. So Shmuel said, if you purchase Avodim from the Akum, so even though again, the Avodim had Mila and Tevila L'Shem Avdus, they could still make your wine into Yayin Esech. until they forget about Avodah Zarah, the camel, and Abba saying, how long does it take for someone to forget about Avodah Zarah? Silly Gemara says, Vakama, Amr Rav Yosheb and Levi, at Shnimasar Chodesh, 12 months. 12 months. So Abba say, herein lies the difference between a Yid and an Akum. So you see, an Akum could forget about his Avodah Zarah after 12 months. A Jew never forgets about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He may bury it in his subconscious, he may push it to the recesses of his neshama, but it is impossible to forget about the Ribbon Shel Olam. Akum could forget about his Avodah Zarah. 12 months, give me a year, I'll forget about my Avodah Zarah. But Ribbon Shel Olam will say a Jew can never forget. You see Maisim B'chol Yom, about Jews who have been estranged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a very, very, very long time. But L'maisim again, still impossible to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam, impossible to purge the neshama of that yediyah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how long does it take for the Akum to forget about his deity? 12 months. Good. So after 12 months, apparently, even according to Shmuel, so the Eved would no longer go ahead and render the wine Yayin Nesach. So says the Gemara, Esri Rabba Rav Nachman, so Rabba raised the kasha to Rav Nachman, Halokeach Avadim Min Ha'ovdei Kochavim, Shemalu v'lotavlu. So let's listen to this. So Rabbi is a kasha to Rav Nachman. So if one goes ahead and, so also remember again, it's Rav Nachman who's making this statement in the name of Shmuel. So now we're asking a kasha on Rav Nachman. So alokeach avodim in ha'ovdil kochavim, if one purchases slaves from an ovid kochavim, shemalu v'lotavlu. So also we're going back and ask this original case, where there was Mila. But we'll say last line on the Zayin of Adalef. There was Mila and not Tevila. V'chein, b'nei ashvachos, shamalu v'lo tavlu. So to us, remember again, when it comes to Avodim Kenan, I'm just pointing out again, there are two distinct cases. There's a case of where I am purchasing a slave from an Akum versus a slave that I already own, who is having a child. So we'll say, so again, either way, the net effect is, those are both my slaves. The shayla is, am I purchasing the slave, or is a slave born to somebody who is already my slave? We'll see the distinction between those cases in just a moment. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, in both of these cases, if the eved in question, malu v'lo tavlu, there was mila benat tvila, so they immersed for the sake of avdus, but there was not yet a tvila, what's the halacha? Rokan umidrasan, their saliva, as well as their medrash. So we'll say amud beis bishuk tame. So we'll say ultimately again. So if we go ahead and they're both their saliva as well as their tumas medrash in the shuk is going to be done. What's supposed to be in the shuk? Look at Rashi bishuk, afilu bishuk she'in tumasan safek ela tumasan vadois min drabanon shegazru ala ovdi kochavim shu kizavin lechol divin. So we'll say, we're not going to get into it now, but that Tumah B'Shuk also happens to deal with Tumah B'Shus HaRabim. Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, or Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, is often dealt with in a more lenient fashion. In this case, over here, what the Gemara is saying over here is that they are treated like a Zav. So this is what we just said before, that the halacha is, an Ovid Kochavim Rabosai was given the general status of a Zav. He's treated like a Zav in halacha. We've seen this before. So therefore, again, this Eved, who is now my Eved, I own this Eved, but the Eved has only had Mila L'Shem Avdus, not Tvila L'Shem Avdus, is treated like a Zav. What's the impact of being treated like a Zav? His saliva is Metamei, his Medrash, which means if he supports his weight against something, that object also becomes Tamei. But we'll say, watch this, Va'amrile, Tahar. Others say, no, once he's had Mila, even though he hasn't yet had Tvila, he's still tar. Yeinan, what about the wine? What about if they touch wine? I'll say, what's the status of their contact with wine? So the Gemara says, Gidolim, Osin Yayin Nesech. So if it's an adult Eved who touches the wine, then he makes the wine into Yayin Nesech. Kitanim, if it's a child, Ein Osin Yayin Nesech. Doesn't make the wine into Yayin Nesech. So also, this seems to be repeating what we said before. So the Gemara says, Eloin Gidolim, Eloin Kitanim. What's the definition of a gadol? What's the definition of a katan? So the Gemara says, Gidolim sheyodin b'tel avodas kochav mishal mishal. The definition of a gadol is someone who knows the details or the intricacies of avodah zarah and the various ways to serve it. Kitanim shein yodin b'tel avodas kochav mishal mishal. A katan is someone who does not know the intricacies of avodah zarah and ultimately all the related rituals and rites. So we'll say, but for our purposes, katani miyas. Now, what's intriguing about this for us? Malu v'lo tavlu in, malu v'tavlu lo. So we'll say, ultimately again, what do you see from here, Bosei? You see from here that in order for my eved not to render my wine, yayin esech, what has to happen, Bosei, according to this braisa, what has to occur? Mila and tevila. So this is now a kasha on Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. Why, Rabbi say? Because Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel said, at what point in time does my Eved stop rendering my wine, Yayin Esech, at what point in time? Ad Shetishaka, Shame Avodas Kochavim EPM. Until they no longer think about their Avodas Kochavim. And how long does it take them to stop thinking about their Avodas Kochavim? 12 months. So we have a contradiction. Because the Braisa seems to say, all I need is Mila and Tevila. Once it's Mila and Tevila, my Eved no longer renders my wine Yayin Esech. Shmuel says, no, you need the passage of time in order to ensure that the Ovid Kocham has effectively forgotten about his Avodah Zarah. So no, which one is it? Is it the passage of time, or is it Mila and Tevila? The Braisa seems to indicate it's Mila and Tevila. Passage of time is not an issue. Tirgama Abnei Shvachos. Oh, we'll say, watch this. So therefore, explain that this price, Rabbi say, that just requires Mila and Tevila, and doesn't require the passage of time, who is this talking about? This is talking about Bnei Ashvachas. This is talking about the slaves that are born to my to people who are already in my servitude, in servitude to me. Rashi says, Rabbi Bnei Ashvachas, Rabbi say, fourth line down from that, Bnei Ashvachas, Techevan de'eitzel yisrael godlu v'lo gazru al yenon bekatenusan. So Rabbi say, this is actually very interesting. The Gemara wants to make the following suggestion, that maybe the Braisa is talking about Dafka Bnei Shvachos. Once again, remember, what's the case of Bnei Shvachos? I own a maidservant. The maidservant has children. Those children are my property. The Gemara now is suggesting that the Braisa that makes a distinction between Gedolim and Kitanim, Avadim Gedolim, Avadim Kitanim, touching the wine, is Dafka referring to Bnei Ashvachos. So when it comes to Bnei Ashvachos, so ultimately again, the Kitanim do not render the wine Yayin Nesech. Why, Rabbi Osai? So Rashi points out over here that Bnei Ashvachos might be accorded a different status for the simple reason that they are growing up in a Jewish home. Because they are growing up in a Jewish home, therefore what? Perhaps they are not so attached to their Avodah Zarah. Therefore, they're not so conversant in their Avodah Zarah. Therefore, their contact with the wine does not in any way go ahead and render my wine Yayin Esech. That's unique halacha by Kitanim, by Bnei HaShvachos. But by every other type of Eved, it's quite possible that, again, you would perhaps need the passage of time. So the Gemara says, one second, V'hav v'chim katani. But that's not what it says. It was like, the Braisa explicitly links Avodim that you purchase with Bnei HaShvachos, to which the Gemara says, maybe Arokan o Midrasan. We'll say, perhaps that linkage is only what? Perhaps that linkage is only in terms of their saliva and Tumas Medras. To show that all of the people in question over here, whether you're purchasing Avodim, or whether it's Bnei HaShvachos, all of them, I will say, essentially are going to have the status of Zav. So Hanicha Laman Damar Tame. So that makes sense, according to Man Damar, who says that they're indeed according to the status of Zav. But I will say, remember again, both times we quoted this Braisa, there is a Mandamar who says that they don't have Tumas Zav. So what is there to say? Avadim Dumya Dibnei Shvachos. So we'll say, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. So according to this approach, we'll say, it would be teaching us that Avadim are like Bnei Shvachos. Ma Bnei Shvachos, Gedolim hu da osin yayin esech, Kitanim ein osin yayin esech. So you'd have to say as follows, that ultimately again, that Avodim are like Bnei Ashvachos. How so? Just like Bnei Ashvachos, just like the children born to the Shivcha, Gidolim who do osin Yayin Esech, it's only the adults who create Yayin Esech. Kitanim ain osin Yayin Esech. So a katan does not make Yayin Esech, or does not render the wine with Yayin Esech. Avodim nami, Gidolim osin Yayin Esech, Kitanim ain osin Yayin Esech. So to Rabbi Osei, even by Avadim who you purchase, it is only a Gadol who has the ability to render the wine into Yayin Esech, not a Katan, La Fuke Midrav. Rabbi Osei, ultimately, again, to exclude the position of Rav, the Amarav, Tinok Ben Yomo Osin Yayin Esech, Because Rabbi say ultimately, again, Rav is of the opinion that even a one-day-old child has the ability to go ahead and make the wine into Yai Nesech, Kamash Malon Dulo. Therefore, Rabbi say we effectively prove from this Braisa that the halacha does not follow Rav, and therefore a one-day-old child does not have the ability to go ahead, a katan, does not have the ability to make the wine into Yai Nesech. So Rabbi say that closes out the sugya ultimately, again, of the Avodim. I'll just tell you what I say. So what do we do with Rav's statement? Rav does have a statement that says, Tinok ben Yomo, even a one-day-old child, has the ability to go ahead and render wine into Yayin Esach. So I say, how do we paskin like that? Which is actually an interesting halacha to think about. So we'll say, Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yayin Esach. You know, in Yardea, there's Hilchos Yayin Esach. So Shulchan Aruch writes, this is in Kuf Chaf Dalet Sif Aleph in Yardea. Shulchan Aruch writes, Tinok Oved Kochavim. Right, a Gentile child, right, an Akum child, she'eno maskir avodas kochav mishamisha, we'll say, who is not really conversant in avodah zarah. He's not conversant in avodah zarah. So we'll say, so, which means that he's a child, so he's not conversant in avodah zarah. Eino oser yain b'magol. We'll say, if he touches the wine, he does not aser the wine by touching it, ela b'shtia. So we'll say, so we actually paskin like the modified version of Rav, which is that if a tinok ben yomo, if an akum child touches wine, so we'll say what effectively happens, that wine becomes aser b'shtia. You can't drink it. But what? It is not aser b'hana. So you could sell it. You could sell it. So we'll say, which is a fascinating halacha. So even if an akum child touches the wine, one cannot drink it, but one would be permitted to get hanaf from it by selling it. Good. So let's go back there. We come now to a fascinating case, a really fascinating case. Listen to this. Hahu Avda. So listen to this. There was a particular Eved. Hahu Avda, I'm sorry. There was a particular episode. We'll say that happened in the city of Mechuza. The location is going to be very important in just a little bit. So this is happening in Mechuza. What happens? Also, Ovid Kochavim, an Akum walked into the store of a Jew. It's not a joke. This is not like a real story. Right? Akum walks into the store. Amr Lehu, Islu Chamr Lezabune. So the Akum asked the Jew, do you have any wine for sale? Amru Le Lo. The Jew says, nope. No wine for sale. So what happens? Havi Yosef Chamra B'davlo. So there was in fact wine sitting in a bucket. Shodi Bey Yodei. So we'll say the Akum sticks his hand in the bucket. Shich Sheikh Bey. He like agitates the liquid. He moves around the liquid. Amrlei Hai Lav Chamruhu. So the Akum says, is this not wine? So we'll say apparently the act of sticking your hand in the liquid, apparently, that's not like the crazy part of the story, right? That apparently was much more common. That you'd go into a store, you'd go ahead and I guess whether you would take, I don't know what you would be doing with it, but apparently that's not like the, so. The point over here is that the Akum stuck his hand, said, "You have wine." So we'll say, what happens? Hi, Amr Luhu. No, we'll say, I want to be clear. Why is the Akum sticking his hand in the wine? He's not. This is nothing to do with avodah zarah. He's literally, again, the Jew told him, I'm sorry, I have no wine in stock. He sees this wine-looking liquid in the bucket, so he sticks his hand in it to see if it's actually wine. That's what's happening over here. So what happens? So Amr Lehu, I love Chamru. So we'll say, so what happens? So the Akum says to the Jew, no, this is wine. Why are you telling me you have no wine? You have wine right here. Shakleheich Beresiche. The Jew got upset, because apparently the Jew didn't want to sell the Akum the wine. For whatever the reason, I'm going to say again, the motives over here are not part of the story, and they don't really matter. The point is, the Jew didn't want to sell the Akum wine. Now the Akum touched the wine. The Jew gets all upset. What did he do? Shadje ledona. So we'll say he takes the wine in the bucket and he dumps it into the barrel. So apparently he did have, not only did he have a bucket of wine, but he had a barrel of wine. So he dumps the contents of the bucket into the barrel. So we'll say now the obvious shayla is what? The obvious shayla is, so what's the status of the barrel? Look at Rashi just a moment. Shakle, hayisra beresiche. So the Jew got upset at the Akum that the Akum touched the wine. The Jew took the barrel, the bucket in anger. Say he doesn't want to sell wine. He doesn't want to give wine to the Akum, whatever the Metzias is. So he dumps it into the barrel. So we'll say the Abi Yishayla is what's the status of the wine in the barrel? So what's the halacha? We'll say Shaye Rava Lizabun Le'Ovdei Kocham. So we'll say Rava Paskint that you can't drink the wine. A Jew can't drink that wine. But what? You can get hana from it. So we'll say, if you notice, by the way, this is a little bit of a more, I mean, this is not just hana, but he's saying you can sell it to an akum. You can get full financial benefit from it by selling it to a Jew. Can't sell it to a Jew. You can't drink it. You Jew can't drink it. And you Jew can't sell it to another Jew. But you can absolutely sell it to an akum. Fine. So we'll say, so again, I just want to point out what's happening over here. The way Rav is passing we'll say is a very important case. This is a case of where it's clear that the Akum is touching the wine. Obviously, he's touching the wine intentionally, but for absolutely no theological purposes. Right? We'll say, this over here is mamish. This is business. This is all business. He just wants to buy wine. Nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Yet, again, what Rava is saying is intentional contact with the wine, even though, again, for non, we'll call it religious purposes, renders the wine prohibited for Jewish consumption, but not prohibited for Jewish benefit. So you can still go ahead and get hana from it, you just can't drink it. So the iflig alei Rav Huna Bar Chinna v'Rav Huna Reid Rav Nachman, so let's listen to this, Rav Huna Bar Chinna and Rav Huna Reid Rav Nachman argued on Rava. What do they argue? Rashi says, we'll say, they actually paskin that what? That it was permitted. They said it was permitted. So we'll say, so what happens? So listen to what happens. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. They ostered it. Excuse me. They ostered it. So Rava permitted it for sale. They actually ostered it. They said you can't even get any kind of benefits from it. So I say, so what happens? Now I will say, interestingly enough, it appears that they were initially unaware of the competing piskei halacha. So Rava Paskins, you can't drink it, but you can get benefit from this. Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Rav Huna Reid Rav Nachman went ahead and ostered it. So what happens? Nafki Shipurei Dirava Visharu. So we'll say, so literally again, Rava publicized his wing. Shipurei means literally like messengers, right? They put out the word. So the messengers of Rava went out and paskin that in a case like this, so we'll say, one could imagine, by the way, that this would be a case that could occur with relative frequency. Now again, if you were a Jewish wine merchant, so what you probably had to do was make sure that you kept your wine covered. In other words, no one touches the merchandise, which, obviously, this is before the time of like a health board or anything like that. I mean, this is, right, it's good practice regardless, but obviously if you were a Jew in the wine business, you had to make sure to take measures to ensure that there was no akum contact with your wine. What Rava's saying is, if there is akum contact, which Rava says must have been a case that occurred quite frequently, Rava says, it's okay, you can't drink it, but you can get benefit from it. You just have to sell it to an akum. So therefore, again, Rava publicized his ruling, saying that you can go ahead and get benefit from this wine. So v'sharu, nafki shipurid Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Rav Huna Bar Nachman va'asri. So we'll say, the Rav Hunas went ahead and put out their psak halacha, that what? That it was asr. So two competing piskei halacha. We'll say, tap of nun ches. Listen to this. Ikla Rav Huna Breid Rav Nachman l'mechuza. Now we'll say, remember, where did this case happen? This case happened in Mechuza. Who's the Rav of Mechuza? The Rav of Mechuza's Rava. I will say, now the Rav Hunas paskin this halacha outside of Mechuza. They heard about this case. They paskin in whatever their city is, right, that it was Asr. One time it happened to be that Rav Huna with Rav Nachman comes to Mechuza. So we'll say, as one could imagine, so where is Rav Huna going to stop first, right? He's going to stop at the house of Rava. Because again, he disagrees with Rava's psak halacha, which is an important one. So let's listen to this. Rava really did not want to get into any kind of machlokas with Rav Huna. Now we're going to see Rava himself changed his position already, but again, you'll forget that piece of information. So listen to this, Rava Sai. So Rava hears that Rav Huna is in Mechuza. Rava knows that Rav Huna is going to come knocking on his door and is going to start up regarding his psak halacha, regarding the wine. Regarding the wine. Right? It's a good Rabbi Spiro. Touched by an akum, you know. So the Gemara says as follows. So Amar le Rava, so what happens? So Amar le Rava le Rav Yakim Shamei. So we'll listen to this. So Rava says to his attendant. So this guy Rav Yakim is like Rava's attendant. He's a shamis. So what does he tell? We'll listen to this. Tirok taruk gali delone se inish delitra. So Rava gives his shamus explicit instructions: lock the doors and don't let anyone in. Right? I have some deep philosophical issues to ponder, some major halachic issues to cogitate on. So I don't let anyone in. So obviously what's happening over here is he's looking to avoid a halachic showdown with Rav Huna. So what happens? We'll say alagave. So the Gemara says. So what happens? Sure enough, Rav Huna comes, and Rav Yakim lets him in. Rav Yakim lets him in. Now what happens? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Trukali sagur adeles shemesyari me Rav Huna shalei kapchenu bahalachos al devei machloksam. So Rav is literally afraid of Rav Huna, that Rav Huna is going to go ahead and challenge him significantly on his psak halacha. So all Rashi says, Rav Huna lagabe uba minei ki agavna. So we'll listen to this. So first of all, the Marshal points out, I don't understand, how does Rav Huna get in? Right? If Rava gave Rav Yakim such explicit instructions, how does Rav Huna get in? So we'll say, the Ramah says very simply, that Rav Yakim assumed that Rava meant, don't let regular people in. In other words, that I can't deal with all the million and one things that people are calling me about and coming to my house about. So therefore, again, lock the door. Rav Yakim didn't think that it applied to Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who was, again, a rabbinic peer, rabbinic colleague, he figured, of course, Rava would be happy to see him. Therefore, he lets him in. Which, I must say, by the way, is an incredible mussar of, you can never assume that people understand what you're thinking, right? Meaning, if you need something from someone, you have to articulate in explicit terms what it is that you need and not assume that someone else could read your mind. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, so sure enough, Rav Huna gets in, and what's the first topic of conversation? Amar lei, ki ay gavna mai. So they skip the pleasantries, right? And Rav Huna said, tell me, Rava, what would you paskin in the following case, right? What would you paskin in the case of an akum who comes into the store of the Yisrael, and ultimately, again, touches the wine of the Yisrael, clearly, again, not for any type of religious or theological purposes, but simply because he is surveying the merchandise. But he ends up touching the wine. I will say, look at Rashi. This is the case. Again, an Ovid Kochavim will say, Shikshech literally means he touches it, right? He touches it. He puts his hand in it. He agitates the liquid a little bit. So new what? And clear. It's clear as day that it is not for any type of theological purposes. He is in the market for wine. This is about merchandise. This is about business. What is the status of the wine? So Amarle. So Rava says, oh well, of course the halacha is aser afilu ba'ano. So we'll say, Rava says it's aser even ba'ano. So we'll say, remember again. So what does Rav Huna say? V'hamar hu da'amar sheikh sheikh ein osi yayin nesech. So Rav Huna says, what are you talking about? You publicize your... So we'll say, you hear what Rava just contradicted himself. Rava just paskin and he sent out messengers to say that the wine is mutter. Now again, the wine is mutter ba'ano. So now Rav Huna says, no, what do you say? What's the status of this wine? So Rava goes in and says, I say the wine is Asr Ba'ana. So Rav Huna says, but one second. But Rav, you're the one who put out the word that in this case of Sheikh Sheikh, where the Akum touches the wine, that it's not Yayin Esech. That it, okay, you said you can't drink it, but it's Mutar Ba'ana. To which Rava responds, Amar da Amri Ana Lebar Mi Damei. So we'll say, Me'ahu Da'ahu Chamra. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Amar Da Amri Ana Lebar Mi Damei Da'ahu Chamra, Damei Da'ahu Chamra Mi Amri. So we'll say, Rava said, when I said that it's permitted for benefit, what I meant is it's permitted for benefit, excluding the value of that wine that the Akum touched. But the value of that wine itself will be absolutely awesome. So we'll say, remember again, let's go back for just a moment. Remember what the case was? The case was where the Yisrael, after the Akum touched the wine in the bucket, the Akum took the bucket, threw it in, excuse me, the Jew took the bucket and threw it into a barrel of wine. Rava says that it's mutter ba'ana. What Rava is saying is, what he really meant was the following. The barrel is mutter ba'ana, minus the value of the wine in the bucket. So you have to take the value of the wine in the bucket, and what that goes back to, like, yolich hanol yamamelach. You know, you take the value of that, you throw it to yamamelach. So Rav says, my psak halacha was that I'm not answering the barrel. The barrel itself is mutter ba'ana, minus the value of the wine that was in the bucket. But the wine in the bucket itself is certainly treated like yayin nesach, and therefore you can't get any benefit from it. So both say, it seems as if, so now in this exchange, you know, Rav Huna shows up like looking for a good old rumble, right? A good old halachic rumble. And what happens? Rava totally takes the wind out of his sails. He says, I agree with you. So both say, so obviously, Rava did not initially agree with him. Both say, we know it, Rava Paskin. And we know that when Rava said mutter ba'ana, Rava meant the whole thing was mutter ba'ana, not excluding the value of the INSS. So both say, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with what caused Rava's change of heart in between the psak halacha and his conversation with Rav Huna.
So most problems start when I say do this.